Hello and welcome to Living the Good Life, a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I am Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury, filling in for Pastor Marcia, who is in Indiana visiting family today. And I am seated here with Deb and Alice.
Hello.
Who are also members of Beacon of Hope.
Hello.
So wonderful to have you all here today.
It's always good to be here.
It is always good to be here. And we just want to give a big shout out to Pastor Marcia if she's listening.
Hi, Pastor. Hey. We miss you.
We miss you, Pastor.
So praise God. We just want to start out today by saying praise the Lord to everybody who's listening. Hopefully, you've tuned in to 1340 AM, or even better, you can find us on tantalk1340.com, even get a picture that way. So praise the Lord for that. Want to talk a little bit today. We talked about, when I was actually on with Pastor Marcia last week, about the promises of God and God's faithfulness. Today I want to kind of follow up on that and tie it in with what we talked about at church this morning. So I had a lot. You know, and I tend to be much more of a teacher than a preacher. Pastor Marcia is quite the preacher. I tend to be much more the teacher, a little bit more sedate, perhaps.
You did a good job this morning.
Well, you're awesome this morning.
Thank you. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was, last week we talked about the promises of God, and then this morning in church I taught about kind of steps of Christian growth. And I wanted to spend some time today, hopefully, talking about how do we get there. It's nice to know, you know, the three major steps of Christian growth. And no, I won't quiz either of you on what those are.
I took notes.
Oh, good. but we do want to talk some about that. So we'll be spending some time later in the book of Philippians, because I think Paul has a lot to say about that. I just want to invite everybody to, if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you're looking for a church, please come visit us. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're at 3700 Olmerton Road and in Clearwater. We're right behind Five Guys and Papa
Burger
John,
King.
Burger King. Can't miss us. Just can't miss us. We're in the building right behind there. Our service times are 10 a.m. in the morning on Sundays. We also have Wednesday night Bible study, and we start that off actually with a prayer time about 6:15, Bible studies at 7. Really just in-depth, and everybody brings a notebook, and it's more interactive. I really like that.
Yeah, I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And then also, after Bible study, if you're interested, we have our choir practice, our praise team practice.
La, la, la.
That's a wonderful time, too, because we get so blessed there. It's like having church again, and then we have church when we practice on Sunday morning, and then we have church.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful thing. I really enjoy that. Although it was different this morning, because I had to leave the practice, you know, to go pray before the service. But I was sitting there and it's like, I'm getting so blessed listening to those guys practice. It just sounded so good.
It's always a lot of fun, too.
It is. It is. We also, I do want to make this note of change. Normally, you can email us during the show, and you would email pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. This week, there's a slight change since Pastor Marcia is not here. You can email us this week and this week only at pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. And it will come in. We'll be able to see it here. So any questions or comments that you might have out there, that would be wonderful. Just let us know you're listening. That's always great for us to know also. So let me see what else. Oh, I think I'll have Alice just briefly explain the prayer ministry.
Oh, the prayer ministry. Well, that's always a good thing. The prayer ministry is... it's basically an email group. We have a bunch of church members and even people from outside of the church who have asked to be on the prayer team. And what happens is prayer requests come in to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And when the prayer requests come in, they go to three or four members of the ministry team, and one of us will make sure that the prayer request goes out to the rest of the team.
Right.
We always include a prayer that if you're, you know, using your phone to get your emails or you're on the go, whatever, there'll be a prayer right there with the prayer request that you can pray real quickly as you read it. And that way everybody's in agreement in the prayer. And we've seen a lot of amazing things happen, a lot of prayers answered. And we also enjoy getting those praise reports that come in.
Exactly.
That's also a wonderful thing, so we can see, you know, what God is doing and how God is working in people's lives.
So what you're saying is God answers prayer.
Oh, definitely.
All the time.
Yes.
And, and I keep a little book on Wednesday nights. I've got all these praise reports written down. And I just want to encourage people, too. You don't have to be a member of the church to send us a prayer request, and you don't have to be a member of the church to be on the prayer team.
That's correct.
All we ask is that you believe that God answers prayer.
That's correct.
And he does, in Jesus' name.
Yes. And if you would like to be on the prayer team and pray along with us, if you'll also send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and just say, hey, I want to join the prayer team, and we'll get you on the email distribution list so that you will get those prayers as well.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful.
And we have members all over the United States.
Yes, we do.
Not just down here in little old Tampa Bay area.
No, we got members up in Indiana, mm-hmm. over in Texas. I hope there's still some over in Texas now that you two have moved
yeah,
back here.
We still have Michael.
Okay. And periodically we have people even overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we've gotten prayer requests from as far away as Australia.
Australia.
I think we got some from somewhere in in Europe, somewhere around England at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
and it's not just from people that are transplanted over there either. I mean,
right.
the prayer request that we got from Australia was really interesting. These people are, you know, from Australia, and they actually listen to the radio show. So if you're listening, hi. I just thought that was awesome, you know.
Yeah, and it's amazing, and that's one thing I really like about the radio show. Not only is it just going out over the airwaves, but it's also going out over the internet, mm-hmm. which means this, you know, this program truly is a worldwide ministry.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know, and praise God for that, because we have a chance now to share the gospel worldwide, around the world.
Yeah.
And that's just a marvelous thing. I mean, technology is such a marvelous thing. And I really praise God that, you know, he's put it in the minds of people to develop this so that we can share the gospel.
Right. And it's great, too, because, you know, in some places, people are not in a situation where they can get to a church, you know,
such as we have a few members that are in the armed forces.
Right.
And when they were in Afghanistan or Iraq, you know, they did listen to us over the internet.
Right.
Which was really cool for them.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's difficult to get that teaching that you need or that insight and knowledge. And so, you know, I think the radio ministry is a great thing.
Amen. Amen. Well, before we really get started into the teaching, I think we'll have our first song, a song called Be Still, and wonderful song.
I remember all the times, the good times and the bad. I'm still holding on to you. Some days I wanna run, sometimes I come undone, but I still belong to you. And that's how I know that when I feel like caving in, my heart, my soul is wearing thin. I just wanna give up and nothing seems at all to add up. Can you hear me, Lord? My face is down upon the floor. It's down your way. Out of you, my friend, the same struggles that I have, and my heart goes out to you. I know it's hard to feel alone, and this world's so unforgiving. I've been feeling that way too.
Praise God. Be still. Just rest. I love that. I love that because I think so many times we struggle so hard to be good Christians. We just struggle to be approved by God. We think we have to struggle to do that.
Yeah, it's like we struggle to be who we feel God wants us to be.
Wants us to be. Amen. And you know what? Scripture says we already are what God wants us to be. And all through, you know, earlier in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, God just says, rest. Rest. Enter into my rest. Just stop. And, you know, in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
And that just means cease. Shut up. Stop. And just rest and know that I am God. Oh, what a blessing.
And, you know, we were talking about this on the way to radio today about how... I think that, you know, when I answered the call, you know, and went into the ministry, I thought that I had to be model myself after, you know, Pastor Marcia or you or, you know, anybody that I that had something, their ability that I thought I wanted. And that's not it, because I am who I am. And God made me this way for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then God called me to the ministry to use what he gave me to be able to minister to those, you know, people that need it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it's interesting. We were talking about that all over.
Well, and I think there's no way to find peace in God if you're struggling all the time. That would be a pretty miserable life.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, if you're taking a hike and you're always constantly going uphill on that hike. You know, you're going to, and your goal is not the hike so much, but to get to the finish line of that hike. And if you're constantly struggling uphill and uphill, you're going to get out of breath, you're going to get tired, and you're going to miss all the beauty around you. You know, and if you're only focused on getting to where you think you need to be, you're going to have missed all this beautiful stuff that God's put along the way.
And all these opportunities that are there.
Right, right. Ooh, praise God. That is so true. But, you know, and I think each of us need to come, we have to come to that point where we say, I can't do it. I'm trying. I mean, I know I got to that point several times, because it's easy to slip back into salvation by works, earning salvation points or whatever. And it's just easy to get to that point, and it's frustrating. Because obviously we know God is supremely holy, perfect, absolute perfection. And, you know, if we're trying to do that on our own, that's only going to lead to frustration. And I think people have lost their faith over that and just given up, because it's just...
It seems too
impossible.
Difficult. Seems too difficult.
It is. It's impossible to do that. And that's why, you know, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe that God has done this already. The work's been done. That's one of the wonderful things. Of course, this is not going anywhere near where I thought this was going to go today, but the work has already been done. You know, we don't have to go to the cross, because A, Jesus has already been there, and B, if we believe in Jesus, we've already been there.
Right. If you think about it, you know, I was making the analogy of going up the hill. If you think about a ski slope, right, and you want to get to the top so you can ski down, right? Well, they have the ski lift to take you up when you just kind of sit there and rest, or you can climb up yourself.
God carries you.
Yeah. You're going to get to where you need to be either way.
Right.
It's just how much of a struggle is it? Are you going to let God do that for you, or are you going to take control and do it yourself?
And do it yourself. Exactly. And I think that's, I mean, one of, part of our human nature, we feel like we have to do that. We feel like we have to go and do it on our own because we don't feel worthy, you know. We don't feel worthy, or we don't think we stack up to what God wants. Well, we never are. I mean, that's what I talked about, the, you know. That's what I talked about this morning. God wants, you know, we talked about in Romans chapter 12, the will of God, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect.
Right.
God wants us to press on toward maturity. The writer of Hebrews said that. You know, let's leave behind these elemental teachings, or if you, you still have that up in,
I do,
in the message.
I do. In the message it says, this is chapter 6 of Hebrews. It says, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place.
Amen.
You know, you said earlier this isn't where you wanted it to go, and I'm sitting here, you asked us to open up to 6 Hebrews while the song was playing, and I'm sitting here reading this, I'm thinking, yeah, this is going exactly where you wanted it to go, because we're talking about the things that we had to go through to prepare for this ministry work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the basic, I mean, mine says basic teachings, where Hirsch talks about, you know, kindergarten type stuff. That's what we've been talking about.
Right. And I think it's funny because God says, press on, let us. And if you read through Hebrews, that word let us appears all the time. And let us press on toward maturity. My translation says toward maturity. I mentioned it this morning in church, that the Greek word there is perfection. Let's be perfect. Well, in some translations, that's how they translate it. And it doesn't mean sinless, perfect. I mean, we know we're not going to get to that point until heaven.
Uh-huh.
But it means press on toward maturity. Let's grow up. What the message says, grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to grow up into Christ. And getting back to where we were at a little earlier, we can't even do that on our own without his help.
That's right.
Again, you know, one of the lines in the song, stand up for Jesus, the arm of flesh will fail you. Mm-hmm. Ye dare not trust your own.
Mm-hmm.
How true is that?
It's very true.
Yeah. I know from my own life, when I got saved, those many years ago.
How long was that, Jim? No, I'm kidding.
That was 38 years ago. It took me probably well over half that time to realize to just let go, because my salvation, even though I received it by faith, I still kept trying to perfect it by works.
Right.
You know, and Paul says in Galatians in chapter 3, you foolish Galatians, you got the Spirit. How did you get it? By faith or by works?
By faith.
By faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's all by faith. And that's the only way we can live a Christian life.
You can't buy your way into heaven.
No, it'd be nice.
You can't buy your salvation.
Right.
You know, it's all about believing in God, trusting in God, and knowing that God is the one that's in the pilot seat, and you're in the, you know, you're in the co-pilot seat.
And he's shaping. The other thing you have to remember is he's shaping you to be the person that he wants you to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you may see somebody else and say, oh, wow, I wish I could preach like them, or I wish I could teach like them, or I wish I could sing like them, or play an instrument like them, and I really want that. And you can work and work and work in yourself to do that,
mm-hmm.
and
never get there.
To try to perfect it to where you feel that they've got it down pat. And if that's not where God wants you, then that's not, it's not going to happen.
Right, right. And if you've done it in the flesh,
right,
so to speak, if you've done it, try to do it on your own, all that's going to be is frustrating. I mean, I would love to be able to preach like Pastor Marcia. That ain't me.
But it's not you,
It's Jim. Not me.
You're a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. And even this morning, you know, we were talking in our prayer time. We always have prayer time before service starts. And we were talking about the way Satan has tried to really mess things up this morning. And one of the things that I didn't mention was even yesterday I was struggling with, I just wish this I could preach this instead of teach it. And then I thought, no, it's not. That's not me. You know, I'm more kind of laid back. I mean, there are times, and I, you know, even sometimes on the radio when I get wild.
We've seen you.
Yeah. You all see
me.
You
have your moments.
I have my moments. But that's not where I live.
Yeah, that's not your personality, your makeup. Yeah.
Right. I'm more the kind of the teacher type.
And Deb and I were, this ties right into what we're saying earlier. Deb and I were talking about this and about how, you know, Pastor Marcia is very much has that go-get-em personality type that, you know, is really right there. And she's very good at preaching and getting her point across and getting the word and all that. And you're more laid back. You're more relaxed.
And at the same time, you know, we have pastor style. We have your style. And, you know, I'm starting to come into my style. And something got said the other night about the fact that, you know, because I have such an out there personality that, you know, that I have the ability to reach out to people that you would not reach out to because you tend to be very intellectual.
Not that he wouldn't really reach out to them.
Well, not that you wouldn't,
them.
But, you're, you know, and look at...
It might be difficult for me to...
Relate.
And
right.
look at, what is it... 3 weeks ago when we had two of our members receive the Holy Ghost and, you know, two members received the Holy Spirit and it was, but for both of them, it was so different. And, you know, you, one of them received it on an intellectual, you know, stance and you were right there with them. You got it. You understood it, you know, and the other person was very demonstrative and, you know, which is, you know, the way I am, the way Pastor Marcia is. And, you know, we got, you know, we were right there
ministering to her and I was ministering to the other person.
And you were ministering to the other person, you know, and I just, after that happened and then the comment was made, I guess it was Wednesday night about, you know, my out there personality, you know, that's when it really gelled for me that I have to quit trying to be something that I'm not and be who I am because I do have the ability to reach people that, you know, wouldn't normally even want to be reached, you know. So and that in here, I think it's in verse 2, basically, you know, my commentary says that mature Christians should be teaching new Christians the basics. And that's what we're doing here.
Right.
On this radio show, that's what we're doing here. You know, there are mature Christians out there that we're reaching as well. But that's all, you know, what this ministry is about. That's what God's word is about. Mm-hmm. Getting God's word out is reaching the new Christian, teaching them the basics, getting them a foundation.
And
so they can move forward.
Right. And also reaching the unsaved or the pre-saved, the people who have not made that commitment to Jesus yet and just, you know, talking about what God has done, how good God has been to all of us, you know, in what Jesus has done in our lives.
Right.
That is what I think that and, you know, what we see going on in church a lot is, you know, the ministry of the word. That's what brings people to Jesus.
Right.
And, you know, so, and well, and I'm thinking of the example, kind of the symbol that was set when there was rebellion in the camp of Israel. And the people wanted to rebel. They wanted Moses to take them back to Egypt. And they rebelled against his leadership and against Aaron's leadership. And what did God say to do? Well, each leader of each tribe, put your staff before the Lord, and we'll just see who's chosen to lead.
Right.
And Aaron's staff, not only did it bud, it had flowers and it had full-grown almonds.
Mm-hmm.
So... to me, that says, you know, if you're a leader or this or even this ministry, the radio ministry as a whole, we have to be able to minister to people on all spiritual levels. Mm-hmm. The leaf, the flowers, and the full-grown almonds.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of our ministry, which means that we have, you know, of course, that puts kind of the onus on us to be almonds, at least, you know, so we can teach everybody. But we have to be able to relate to people on all those levels.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's really what this radio show does, because, you know, sometimes we're almonds, sometimes we're flour, sometimes we're leaf levels, but there's something here for everyone, and I think that's really a wonderful thing.
Well, that ties in really well to you know, the sermon that you taught. You didn't preach it, you taught it.
the lesson that you taught today
about the, you know, 30, 60, 100 fold that you know Pastor Marcia has talked about so many times. And it really came to life to me today, and that, you know, that's sort of what you're talking about with the leaf and the flour and the mm-hmm. almond. It fits right into that 30, 60, 100.
Right, because it's a degree of harvest. Right. So,
and it's not that one stage is any better than the other, so right. to speak, because, you know, if you're saved, you're saved, you're going to heaven, regardless of, you know, whether you're that leaf or that flower or that almond.
Right. Well, and that came out, you know, that's why I included that one verse in Revelation mm-hmm. this morning, because those who are with him, Jesus, are called, chosen, and faithful. So it's people at every level.
And that was Revelation 17:14.
Yeah. Right, right. And I'd mention, going back to Hebrews 6, you know, sometimes God says, let's, you know, the writer of Hebrews said, let's go on to maturity. We've got our basic foundation here, you know, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, teachings on baptisms and laying on of hands, resurrection, the eternal judgment. We've got that foundation. Now it's time to move on. Some people don't yet have that foundation. So
right.
again, put a plug in for Beacon of Hope. Recommend that you come here, especially Bible study. You'll get that foundation.
Yes, definitely.
You know, but the point is some people never get past that. As we used to say, I am, what was it? Saved, sanctified, and solidified. You know,
I haven't heard that term in a long time.
Yeah, I've got my doctrine, and don't you dare try and move me from it. Don't you try and move me past this. You know, and that's God saying, no, I need you to move on, to be flexible. And I think it also helps us to broaden our ideas or our thoughts about God. You know, so many times we, you know, tend to keep God in a little box. This is how you're supposed to act. You know, this is how God acts. And the first time God steps out of line, you know, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, we've all had times when God did unexpected things that we just didn't think he was going to do or would do. You know, I swore I would never preach again. I mean, that was...
I remember back in 2008 hearing you say that, mm-hmm. that you would never preach again.
I swore I'd never preach again. Surprise!
Don't you know that when you draw that line in the sand, God says,
hide and watch.
Well, you know what God does? We draw our line in the sand. He just, you know, he's got longer arms than we do. He just steps behind us and draws a line behind us.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
Guess what?
Yeah. So it's just such a blessing to know that God calls us to move on beyond these things. And I think it's also important, one little private note for me about this is God says move on beyond these particular doctrines. Because I could spend my, you know, teacher that I am, I could spend my life in those doctrines and miss out on the more important things, which is knowing God.
Right.
You know, I talked about that this morning. One of the things that God calls us to is knowing him. It's one thing to know about doctrines, to know doctrines, or to know about God. It's another thing to really know God.
And see, God is in my head right now. God is saying, you know, it's not just all vanilla ice cream. You know, if you taste vanilla ice cream and it's cool and, you know, it's
refreshing
and it's creamy,
it's
and
boring.
But you know.
But if that's all you've tasted.
But then,
right,
but
right.
You know, there's such a flavor palette out there. And I never, before I answered the call, I never would have thought this way. But why would you want to settle for vanilla ice cream when there's so many other flavors out there and so many other things to
right.
explore? You're
like
just
sprinkles.
Like sprinkles. You're missing out.
Well, but think that's common to a lot of people's Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get to that 30-fold area.
Right, exactly.
Where they think, okay, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I know the Lord Jesus. My sins have been washed away. I'm fine. I can just stop here.
And, I mean, you know, the people that are at that beginning stage, that 30 stage, once they're saved, you know, they're going to go to heaven, and they know that. You know, they've gotten the gift. But why stop there? There's so much. The Bible has so much just adventure and wonderful stories and places to go. Mm-hmm. And when you go and you read this and you see these places, you know, in God's Word, it starts to apply to your own life. It's not just about what happened over 2,000 years ago or, you know, get into the Old Testament, you know, how many years ago was that? You know, I mean, it's about applying what you're reading, the wisdom and experience of all of God's Word into your life and seeing where it takes you.
Right.
It's like I akin it to when you're in school. Okay, I'm a big proponent of education and lifelong learning, and you can never have enough education. Okay, and just think about it: if when you're in kindergarten, right, you learn your ABCs, or preschool, kindergarten age, right? Well, let's say you stop right there and you never go any further. That's all you know. So you can say your ABCs, you can sing your ABCs, and you're happy with that. If you go just a little bit further and push yourself and broaden your mind a little bit more, suddenly you're able to read Dick and Jane and see Spot Run.
Okay, you're right? Dating yourself.
Okay, well, still. And then...
Please, we had Tom and Susan.
And then, you know, if you push yourself a little bit further to dig a little deeper and practice a little more with your reading, you're able to read things like Treasure Island and have these adventures and Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn and all this kind of stuff, right? And have these adventures with these people as you're reading. And so as you push the envelope a little bit further in your knowledge and try to learn a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, you're gaining so much mm-hmm. from it.
And mm-hmm. it's all about producing and bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't step outside the box and take that next step, you're not producing fruit, and you're just going to wither and die.
Right.
On the inside, not physically, but on the inside you will.
Right. Well, it's, you know, God, well, calls us vines, and Jesus said, you know, you're the vines. My Father's the vine dresser. He's going to prune us so that we can. The whole point is that we bear more fruit.
Right.
And show ourselves to be his disciples. And that's why God encourages us 30-fold, you know, good, 60-fold acceptable, 100-fold perfect, according to Romans chapter 12. So God calls us to that, to push ourselves, you know, and sometimes then again that circles back to where we were at the beginning of the show. Yeah, but doesn't that mean I'm doing it on my own? No.
No,
we have to, you know, God has set these things out. You know, salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this morning, we talked about when the angels made their announcement to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior
mm-hmm.
who is Christ the Lord. So we've got Jesus as Savior. Then Jesus as Messiah, the anointed one, where you step into that second experience, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus as Lord, where you are actually just resting fully in his presence.
Right. And that was Luke chapter 2, verse 11.
Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Thank you, because you know me. I'll just fly through
these
references.
That's okay. I just want to make sure people get them.
Assuming that everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, that's that kind of teacher thing. I mean, it's like, well, don't you know where we're at? But we also spent some time talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Exodus chapters 25 through 27 and chapter 30.
Thank you for not reading all of those during the service.
You're more than welcome. yeah, I knew better than that. I love reading scripture while I teach, but I figured that was a bit much. But the structure of the tabernacle, and pastor, if you're listening, I would sure love to preach on this on Sunday night or Wednesday nights. But it's so, because everything in the tabernacle means something. It has
a purpose.
Meaning.
Right.
And, you know, you go into the outer court, and there's the bronze altar, which is the altar of sacrifice, where, you know, if you had committed a sin, you would give your animal to the priest. The priest would kill it and put it on the altar to be burned up. And so that was, you know, the outer court speaks of cleansing from sin. Then the inner court, the holy place, is where it speaks of ministry to God. You know, it's where you had to keep the seven-branched candlestick. You had to make sure that those, that the lamps on it were always burning. You had to make sure that the 12 loaves of bread were on the table of showbread.
And those were oil lamps, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you had to go in and trim the wicks and make sure the oil was at the right level. And they had, you know, the priests would go in twice a day to do that. And then they would also offer up incense because the altar of incense was there. So that talks about our ministry to God. Okay.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, only once a year, the high priest on one day could go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. And praise God, we have that privilege now. We don't have to wait just for the Day of Atonement.
Praise God.
We can go in there now and live in God's presence, and that's what he's calling us to do.
And the I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to make sure people understand the analogy there in that, you know, that outer court is where we are when where we how can I say it? That, you know, when we ask Jesus into our hearts and ask him to forgive us of our sins and ask him to be Lord over our lives, that's that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was the sacrifice for us.
Right.
That's why we don't have to bring a lamb to the altar.
Right.
And then with the inner court, with the priest doing the ministry work, that's more of a ministering to God. That's when we're praising God and, mm-hmm. and we're worshiping, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit,
right.
and coming into us and you know, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that holy of holy places is when we can get in that one-on-one presence with God, when we're in worship and worshiping him, and we know that he is right there with us, just surrounding us with his glory.
Right. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah,
and I learned that from you today.
Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. And that's what God is calling us to move on to perfection, you know, to move on to maturity,
right,
as believers. And I really, truly believe we need that, because as we grow, as we grow into maturity in Christ, our faith grows and our trust grows. And we're talking on faithful leaders on every other Thursday night about, you know, God, how faithful, how trustworthy God is. And I think now, this week, I mean, look at what's happened this week. This has been a pretty tumultuous week. We mm-hmm. had that whole debt ceiling crisis, and, you know, we had that helicopter was shot down in Afghanistan, and mm-hmm. our United States credit rating got dipped down a notch. And I was reading on a webpage, a news webpage, before I came over here. You know, they're wondering how they had this big, the G7 had this big conference call to calm everybody's fears. And it's like, I'm so glad I'm Christian, and I don't have to panic.
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking about that, because that was early this morning, Deb and I were talking about, you know, the news lately and what's been going on, and it's so nice to know that we know that God has everything in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, there may be, you know, debt crisis and credit rating drop, all this stuff happening, but God's in control of what's happening, and all this is working out according to his plan.
Right.
And along that same line, I was just thinking that for me, and for any of you listeners out there that are unemployed, I feel you. I'm there with you. I've been unemployed for months. Cannot find a job. But at the same time, I'm glad that I know God. I know Jesus. I'm saved, and I do my best. I do my best on a daily basis to walk with God, because I can only imagine where I would be mentally and emotionally unemployed. And, you know, because, hey, finance company's talking about repossessing my truck. Now, I know God's got a different idea, and I'm just going to wait God out. But I'm not fretting over it. I'm not worried over it, because if it happens, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing everything that I can do to prevent it. But, you know, if it happens, God's got something better in store
Amen.
For me.
Amen.
You know, and God has provided for me. You know, when I didn't know where I was going to get that roll of toilet paper, you know, money just miraculously appears.
Gift cards.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, praise God. I mean, we had a couple of $100 appear in our checking account this week.
Yeah.
That we're still trying to figure out. We know where it came from.
We're just not sure why it came.
And the company that gave it to us is not sure why it came either. But trust me, it's been spent. So, but it was there just at the right time.
Right.
You know?
Well, and God showed me that in, of all places, this really horrendous area of Revelation, the book of Revelation in chapter 9. And I did want to share this. Talking about the fifth angel blowing his trumpet, and that's where the locusts come out of the mm-hmm. abyss and torment the people who don't mm-hmm. have the seal of God on their foreheads. But he says, oh, I just had it here. But he says chapter 9 there that he had prepared it for that year, that month, and that day. He knew down to mm-hmm. the very day when this was going to occur. And it's great because you're right. God, that showed me, I mean, I got like a revelation on that. It's like, wow, you know, we look at all the bad things that are happening and we think, has God lost control? And not at all. He knows what's going to happen. He knew about the whole debt ceiling thing and everything that's happening. It doesn't take him by surprise.
Right. And I really see all of that as God's way of trying to shake people up enough to realize that, hey, you know, you need to come back to me.
You got to put your trust in something other than the
right.
stock market or
well,
whatever.
And I mean, I hate to put it in a sense of, you know, Christian things versus secular things. But like you said earlier, you know, when you deal in the flesh and you live in the flesh and you're not living in the spirit, you know, things happen that are totally out of control. And I really think that if people will look at what God's word says and look at how, you know, God has put there that, you know, certain things are going to happen on certain days at certain times, like you said, that these are all warning signs.
Right.
You know, and I'm not talking about end time stuff here at all. These are all warning signs that, hey, you guys have stepped away from me. You guys have stepped away from me. You have stepped away from my word. You've stepped away from my teaching. And it's all about, you know, getting that back, getting mm-hmm. back to where you need to be.
Yeah, and I just wanted, before we go to our next song, to in Haggai chapter 2, starting with verse 6, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in." Praise God.
Yeah.
You know?
Shake things up.
And he does that both just, you know, temporally for us, but, and of course, I tend to take everything in end time sort of point of view. He's shaking us up for that.
Right.
You know, he's shaking the nations. And again, it's to wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go to our next song, which is "Let Me Rediscover You" by Down Here.
Your spirit hovers over my waters. Your love burns longer than the sun. The skies of thunder echo your wonder. Your praises can't be oversung. The whole universe is witness to only a part of what you've done. grace I'll follow through. Reveal to me the God I thought I knew.
Oh, what a great song. I love that song. And it fits so well. You know, we've been talking about coming into God's presence, and that's a continual rediscovering of God. Every day, we have to rediscover who God is. And I mentioned it this morning, you know, about Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6. He had a vision of the Lord God. And, you know, he saw this vision. He said, I saw the Lord sitting in his temple, and the whole place was filled with smoke, and it just surrounded by glory, and the seraphim were there, and they cried out continually, holy, holy, holy. And, you know, Isaiah's reaction was, woe is me. You know, he had this a new vision of God, and what it did, it showed him his own inadequacies. Mm. It showed him, you know, I'm not where I need to be. But the wonderful thing is what happened next? One of the seraphs took a coal from the altar and touched his lips, because Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. The seraphs flew out, touched his lips, and said, there, your sin's been atoned for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what God does. He doesn't, I'm going to start preaching. He doesn't bring ahead. Us to that next level of our relationship with him, to where we acknowledge, I got another maybe layer of that onion that we've talked about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God shows us, okay, this needs to go now. And in Isaiah's case, he realized that he wasn't saying what he needed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he was convicted of that. And yet God in his mercy just didn't leave him there, and he doesn't leave us there. He lets us know that that's going to be taken care of.
Right.
And then God said, okay, who's going to go for us? Who's going to go out and speak my word? And Isaiah's going, here I am. Send me.
Me.
Send me. And that's what, praise God. That's what God does. He gives us a revelation of himself to work out something within us,
right,
so that he can use us on a deeper level.
Right.
Because Isaiah had done some prophesying before. Mostly, you know, the first five chapters are all prophecies too. Then he gets this vision, and then he goes off and prophesies the rest of the book of Isaiah, which contains, you know, prophecies about Jesus' birth, Babylon's destruction, the restoration of Israel. And God brought him to a new level so that he could be in a deeper relationship and a new ministry, a deeper ministry.
I sort of see it as you know, Isaiah had, you know, when he was young, he had an idea of who God was, and he went through the rituals and all that of the Jewish faith, you know, giving the sacrifices and all that. And then he moved up to the 60-fold area where he started prophesying and started sharing the information that God had given him. But it wasn't until that point of where the angel, seraphim, whatever came down and touched his lips with the coal that he reached that 100-fold area where he could just freely and without inhibition exhibit the gift that God had given him,
right,
in the prophecy.
Well, and think too about Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was called as a youth, possibly just a teenager. And, you know, because he said, I can't talk to these people. I'm just a kid. And, you know, God told him, you speak, I'll give you the words. Just be bold and speak what I give you. And in the same way, that cost Jeremiah pretty dearly too. I mean, there was one point where he said, just kill me, just get it over with. Again, he was brought to that point where he said, I'm at the end of my human rope, God. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of doing this. And God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. But and see, he gave him the grace to do it.
That's where God wants you. God wants you at the end of your human rope.
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
wants you when you were sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's when God does his best work.
Right.
You
right.
know, because you don't fight then.
Right. Well, that's when you, yeah, exactly. If you've got some fight left in you, you're going to, you know, you're either going to try and do it on your own or you're just going to fight God. And I've known a lot of people that like to fight God. You know, there used to be an old musical back in the 70s, I believe, Your Arm's Too Short to Box with God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How true is that? You know, God's got much longer arms than we do, so it doesn't do you any good to box with him. And it's just so often we try and do that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But like, I, you know, praise God, Isaiah came to the end of his rope. Jeremiah did the same thing. Paul did.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Paul brought up in the Jewish faith, he says, well, in Philippians, he talks about, you know, they want to boast. I can boast. You know, I'm a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee. As far as zeal for God, I persecuted the church. I was so zealous mm-hmm. for the law.
Right.
And then I got knocked off my horse. You know? Then I got knocked off my horse. Because he met God, and God did that wonderful work in Paul.
Right.
You know, it was kind of a lifetime
work. And it's very I don't know the word for it, but the fact that, you know, Paul was struck blind, you know, and he had to depend on God. He couldn't depend on himself to get from point A to point B. Right. He had to depend on someone else, and he had to depend on God, you know. And that's where God wants us. God wants us to depend on him in order for us to move forward.
Right, and it's that humility, you know. Sometimes if we boast in the flesh, then, you know, oh, I'm so good because I have so much knowledge. But you know what? I wouldn't have that knowledge if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
You know, and I have to be, you know, we all have to have that humility or we're not going to go anywhere in our relationship with
right.
God.
You know, going back to the very first song on Be Still and talking about, you know, having humility. I was told once by somebody with a lot of wisdom and a lot of years that sometimes you just need to sit still, shut up, and listen. And when you're boastful and you're tooting your own horn, you're out there strutting around like a banny rooster, you know.
You can tell she's from the South.
You think? God can't use you. God can't work with you like that. So God just kind of stands back, you know, like a good parent and you know, lets you feel your oats, let you go out there and beat your head against the wall a couple of times.
Right.
And finally, when you realize that you need to stand still, sit down, and shut up, and listen, and you start really looking at things before you take that step, that's another time that God does his best work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's one step at a time, one day at a time. I told somebody not too long ago, quit worrying about what happened in your past. It's gone. That's why they call it the past. That's why they call it history. Can't change it. It's written in the books. You know, you can read about it if you want to. Don't go back there. You know, tomorrow is the future. It's not there. You don't have it. All you have is today. It's the gift that God gave you for today. And you have to make the best of what God gave you. So you better sit down and shut up and listen, or you're going to miss out on a lot.
And believe it or not, that goes with the scripture from Philippians.
You wanted to wind up in Philippians.
Yeah. Well, Philippians chapter 3, starting with, well, and I'm going to start because it's where Paul boasts. Starting in verse 4, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. But, starting in verse 7, mm-hmm. But.
This is good.
Yes, very good.
Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith.
May I please read this in the Message
you
Bible?
You may.
Because this is so colorful. Now, I'm reading this in the Message, and it's a paraphrase, but I just love the way it's written. It says, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all things I once thought were so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness.
Amen. And he goes on in verse 10. I love that. That's really good. That I may know him. Okay, we talked about this morning, knowing God, just really knowing God, and the power of his resurrection. And here's a kicker. And may share in his sufferings. Oof. Okay?
Ouch.
Yeah, that's an ouch. Becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained this, and not that I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Ooh, I love that.
Wow.
Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward and strain, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How wonderful is that? I mean, right there is everything we've talked about kind of in a nutshell. Paul's talking about this is that so I can be found in him. I'm willing to give up everything.
Right.
Okay. Well, we need to pause for just a moment for station identification. We'll be right back with going back to Philippians in just a second.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Well, welcome back to Living the Good Life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury. I'm here with Alice Mize and Deb Reasonover.
Hello.
Hello. And we are from, as we said, Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I just want to welcome everybody here for our second hour on the air. We've been talking about a lot of things.
Wow.
It's kind of hard to know where we've been going. But basically, we've been talking about our growth, how we grow in Jesus, and kind of what those steps are. We left off in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul talks about, you know, people want to flash their credentials, quoting from the Message Bible, around me. I'll flash mine at them. And Paul really, in the flesh, here was a man who was a scholar. He practiced what he preached as far as...
And he was very cocky.
Yeah, he was very cocky. and yet, he said, all these things are garbage. You know, all these things are garbage. And it's a wonderful thing to have intellect and all that. Believe me, I know.
Watch it.
But I had to get to that point too with Paul. I had to get to that point like Paul and say, you know, I can get up there and show off what I know, but that's not going to in the eternal scheme of things. That's just not going to, you know, that's just not going to make it.
I like what my Bible says at the end of verse 9 in Philippians 3, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith.
Mm-hmm. And that segues right into our fourth song. That's What Mercy Is by New Song.
It's a blue sky morning. It's a new day dawning. It's a million miles from a past that's haunted you forever. It's a prayer that's answered. It's a second chance for a life you never, ever even dreamed that you could live. That's what mercy is. It's a hand that reaches down and lifts you up again. What mercy is. It's a word forgiven, shouted straight from heaven to a heart that's broken from the only one who'll make it whole again. It's a song of freedom, sung for all who listen. There's a door.
Praise God. What a great... all these songs we were just talking during when the song was playing, they just fit so perfectly.
Thanks, Connie. Thank you, Connie.
And they fit so perfectly with what we were talking about. Then comes on a great song, and that just leads into some more. You know, it's just it's just amazing. And
well, especially since Connie had absolutely no idea what you wanted to really talk about.
You know, I wasn't sure either, you know. But God takes care of those things.
He does.
Praise God for that. And, you know, we were talking in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, first of all, he counted all things as loss so that he could know Jesus, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, so that he could attain the resurrection. And he says, not that I've already done that. Not that I've already attained it. But this thing I do, it falls up with what you had said, Deb. I forget what lies behind. I strain. I press forward for the upward call. And that's what we talked about this morning, you know, in church. Pressing on, pressing upward, going on to maturity. And that's what God's called us to do.
Right. Yeah, no, I was just thinking that when you say pressing on and all that, it makes it sound like there's a lot of effort behind it, the pressing on. But it's we have to allow God to lead us forward.
Well, and I think, yeah, I mean, it is. I see it as pressing, and Paul actually uses the word straining.
Mm-hmm.
Because
It's almost like you're straining at the bit. You know, you have a bit in your mouth.
That, and I'm thinking of what might be trying to hold us back
mm-hmm.
from pressing on. What would be trying to hold us back from getting to know God better? You know, there's all those, our flesh, for one thing.
You know, one thing that just steps out in my mind, and I think it's because of something that Pastor Marcia had preached previously, is unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you have unforgiveness in your life, and that's one of the major things that can hold you back from moving forward, when you haven't let go of that past.
Right. Well, and think of Isaiah. He could have just as easily said, "Woe to me, I'm a man of an unforgiving heart, and I live among a people of unforgiving hearts."
Right.
And then I think the angel, the seraph, would have taken the coal and applied it to his heart.
Right.
Or anything. You know, Paul says we have to, I like that, straining at the bit to move forward. But again, there's something, sometimes, you know, there are those things that hold
us
back.
The reins. Something's mm-hmm. tugging on the reins, holding us back.
Right. And I think, you know, there's so much that Scripture reveals that can hold us back. Mm-hmm. And it can, you know, it's, I think it's different for different people. Some people, it may be pride, maybe unforgiveness, mm-hmm. Something else of the flesh, lust or whatever, anything that can hold us back. Paul says we just need to strain against it. And it's true. It is. It can be a struggle. But who's on our side?
God's on our side. Yeah. And you just have to keep putting one foot down in front of the other and keep moving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes it's hard. we've talked about having problems with depression before, and sometimes it's really hard, but you just have to have that faith that God's going to plant your foot where it needs to be, and you're going to be okay, and you're going to be safe, and you just have to keep on going.
Right, right. Well, and what Paul says here is, you know, with those of us who are mature, think this way, and if you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And then he says something, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us.
Right.
For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with their mindset set on earthly things. So, you know, there are, you know, some people, and I think sometimes people hold us back from moving on.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul says here, they're enemies of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, we just have to keep moving. And then I love this next verse. But our citizenship is in Florida. And, oops, did I misread that?
No, sorry. It says, but we are citizens of heaven.
Yeah, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, and I love this, think about this. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, from heaven, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we think we're down here waiting on him. Our real self, you know, in God's eyes, we're already seated with him in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the struggle easier. We get that down on the inside mm-hmm. of us. I'm not seated in this chair in the radio studio. I'm seated in heaven with Jesus. And it's from there I'm awaiting a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my physical body may be down here on earth, but my true life, my citizenship is in heaven with him. You know, it says, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And over in Ephesians, Paul talks about that's the same power, that resurrection power
right.
that works, that's on the inside of us. I mean, think about it. I'd like to picture it in my head sometimes. That Saturday night when Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, there must have been like this mini nuclear explosion in the tomb as the resurrection.
<Nobody heard.
laughs> Yeah. As the resurrection power of God raised Jesus up from the dead.
Right.
And that's the same power that Paul says works within us.
Right. That's amazing.
And, oh, it's what a blessing it is to know that And that's why, you know, Paul can write all these other promises, because that's what it's based on. If we are born again, you know, the blood of Jesus, we've accepted that sacrifice, then we're seated, Paul says, with Christ in heavenly places. Whoa. You know, that's why we can say and believe that the devil, the scorpions, the snakes are under our feet, because we're seated in heaven mm-hmm. with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what makes that a reality.
Right.
Ooh, I'm going to start preaching wow. again. I mean, it's just wonderful to think that same power is in us. And that's what makes, I think, it maybe not easy is not the right word, but attainable. We don't ever have to think that what God has called us to is impossible, because he lives on the inside of us, that he lives inside of us. Therefore, we have that same power within us. Therefore, nothing is impossible.
Wow.
Okay, Connie.
No, it's true, because I'm thinking, as you say, nothing is possible. It's like, yeah, nothing's impossible, you know, through Christ who loves me. I'm just, all these scriptures are running through my mind, and it's like, you know, it's all, for me, it's tying together. You know, it's just this, you know, one chapter in Philippians is starting to help me tie this information together. You know, it's one thing to know bits and pieces and stories here and there, but it's so good to be able to start to tie it together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, I want to read this, the Philippians 3, I think it's starts at verse 20 in the Message Bible, because I like the way it's written. I hope you don't mind.
No.
It says, but there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. And this is the part that I really like, because, you know, being female, and guys do too, we all have these sometimes bad self-images of our bodies and stuff like that. He will make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he's putting everything as it should be under and around him. So it's like, it's nice to know, you know, because I don't know, it's very personal for me, but it's nice to know that I'm not always going to be have this outward body that I've got now, that God's got the perfect one set for me somewhere, you know, and that he's working on that, and God is just so good.
Yeah. Okay, what can you say? Yeah, God is so good. And it's still, it amazes me. I mean, this is a facet of God's love for us. And sometimes I'm just amazed at how people will put up blocks to all this.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, and going back a little further backwards in Philippians 3, it says, and I'm reading from the Message, there are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead-end street. You know, and to me, that's so telling, because people say, oh, you know, I don't want to get up and go to church on Sundays. I don't want to make the effort. You know, I want to sleep in. You know, I don't want to, you know, go on Wednesday night. It means I'm tired from work and, you know, and all that. And I don't want to, I don't want to take time to read the Bible because, I mean, my favorite TV show is on and this and that, or, you know, whatever the excuse is, they're doing what they feel is the easiest for them mm-hmm. to do. But it's getting them nowhere.
Right.
You know, they're going along living their life, but they're not progressing anywhere.
Right.
They're ending up in a dead-end street. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so.
That's true. I mean, it's easy to, well, and I think, again, relating it to the 30, 60, 100, we can stop at 30, we can stop at 60, but that's not God's best for us. And me personally, I want to be like Paul, and I want to strain forward. I want to keep pushing to get to God's best for me.
Right.
I want to be in that place with him. I want to have that kind of relationship with him, because otherwise, and what's the use?
And it's not so that you can boast about it and say, no. Oh, here I am. I'm at the 100th place.
I've arrived.
I'm there. Because if you're saying that, you're not.
Right. You know? Oh, exactly. Exactly. You're still back stuck on Easy Street.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it's so that we can have that, because I feel the same way. That's why I say we. I think it's so that we can have that relationship with God where we're in his presence 100% of the time and just fully engaged with him and in line with his will and mm-hmm. knowing that what you're doing is where God wants you to be and what God wants you to be doing. And you know, the only way that you can really know that is if you have the Bible in your heart.
Right.
Meaning that you have read it, you've studied it, you understand it, and you can apply it to your life.
Well, and I think you touch on a really important point, too. This whole thing is a relationship.
Yes.
You know, it's easy, you know, and some people find it easy, even though it's the most frustrating thing in the world, been there, done that, to build our relationship with Jesus on rules and regulations because, and I speak from experience, for me that was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to have a black and white sort of personality. And if I knew what was right and what was wrong, you know, and I made up all these little rules and I certainly had my own oral traditions, you know, like, okay, I won't do this because that might lead to this and I can't do this because that might lead to that. And yet I ended up breaking every one of them because they were, like Paul says in Romans 7, Romans 6 and Romans 7, when you set up these rules, it just eggs your flesh on to break them.
Right.
And it just made life miserable. And then, you know, found out this is a relationship. I mean, I was born again doing this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I already had a relationship with Jesus, but I kept thinking I've got to perfect myself in the flesh. I've got to do it by the law.
Right.
And you know, that never works.
People may be wondering, well, how do I get this relationship with God? Yeah, I've been saved, or maybe you haven't. But to me, and I've said this before, to develop a relationship with anybody, with God or anybody, you have to communicate with them.
Right.
If you think about it, let's say I've got a friend and or an acquaintance. We met. Hi, how you doing? Oh, great. You know, I'm so-and-so. I'm so-and-so. This is what I do for a living, whatever. You're an acquaintance. You know each other. You never speak to them again. You know, how much of a relationship is there?
Right.
Right?
Right. There isn't one.
Right. But then you think about the very best friend that you've got. You know, if you probably pick up the phone every time something happens, or you send him a tweet, or, you know, you update your Facebook page with all your, you know, friends. You know, I'm going over to the McDonald's to have a hamburger or something, you know. So everybody knows what's going on with your life, but you don't take that time with God.
Right.
So that God, I mean, God already knows what's going on in your life, but he wants to hear it from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's when we talk about developing a relationship, it's really just having communication with God.
Right.
And it's saying, you know, talking to God about what's going on with you, reading the word so that he can talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have a relationship with anyone if you don't communicate. That's the bottom line.
Right.
Exactly. And sticking by rules and regulations means that I didn't have to communicate with God.
Mm-hmm.
I had him right where I wanted him. Okay? And I wasn't living.
So you think.
So I thought, yeah. Because, you know, I had my own rules. I had my own laws. And yet there was no place, you know, for faith. There was no place for faith in this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Scripture says the just shall live by faith. Everything we have by faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's no other way to get it. So, and yet some people find that it's easier to set up all those rules, you know, crazy little rules, but it's still kind of crazy. So, right. Speaking of faith, we want to go to our next song, What Faith Can Do by Cutlass.
Praise God.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger
stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver.
Praise God. This what, that's what faith can do.
Wow.
You know, faith can move a mountain. Faith can, we see miracles by faith. And that's kind of, what more is there to say? I mean, there's a lot more, but that kind of wraps it all up. It's all on faith.
It's all on faith.
It's all based on faith.
You know, you were talking this morning about, you know, the 30, 60, 100, and you wrote up on the board, you gave scripture references where... In each scripture, and Alice, you have the scripture references, I don't.
Yeah.
But you gave scripture references to where in each scripture there were three things that in all throughout the Bible that broke out. And, you know, the very first thing was, you know, to be saved. Once you're saved, you're in that 30-fold realm. But once you're saved, then you need to know who Christ is and learn who he is. So that he lives with inside you, and you carry him with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's when you get to the 60-fold. And you were talking about, you know, when you get to the 100-fold, you know, that's perfection. And one of the things that you said this morning, I'm saying all this because one of the things you said this morning was you were talking about perfection and what perfection was or what it wasn't. And perfection here on earth doesn't mean that you're sinless. You know, we're human and we're going to make mistakes, but that we continue to strive to step outside of that sin and realize when it's coming at us, because we have been saved and we have Christ in our heart. And that, to me, that hundredfold falls under that, what would Jesus do? You know? And so, but just to put it out there, we've said, you know, you get to the perfection stage. We've said that several times. And I wanted to put it out there that perfection doesn't mean that you're sinless, you know, because like you said earlier, you're not going to get there
right.
to that that true perfection stage, right. you know, until, you know, you go and you meet God and you're there and you're in heaven. And then the complete cleansing of your body will happen. So right. I felt led to kind of throw that out there.
Yeah, and that's so true because, and I think, you know, there's a whole couple of denominations based on that concept that we can be perfect down here. Perfect, sinless, perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it means mature, complete. We just see ourselves as complete. In Colossians chapter 2, in him, in Jesus, you are made complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, what a blessing.
Well, you know, at nursing home, we had nursing home ministry today, which is just an absolute blessing for all of us. And Connie was talking about her infamous hole in the heart and that, you know, that there's a God-shaped hole in your heart that only God can fill. And to me, the analogy has become the jigsaw puzzle. And there's that one last piece. You open the box, you dump all the pieces out, you put everything together, but that one last piece is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And you search and search and search until you find that one last piece because the picture is not complete until you have that last piece in there.
Right.
And that's the way it is with knowing God and having him inside of you. Once that piece is there, it's a complete deal. And, you know, that's kind of what I think Paul was really trying to impress upon the Philippians and the Corinthians, was that, you know, you got to keep moving forward to find all the pieces that you need to complete that picture.
Right.
You know, it, just my own weird way of
putting it out there. Well, that makes perfect sense. And I think that's, I don't know why, well, I do know why it popped in my head, the scripture, your word is a lamp to my feet and mm-hmm. a light to my path.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like holding up a lantern. It's not going to illuminate
everything.
It's going to illuminate right in front of you. So you take a step, and then you got another step or mm-hmm. two illuminated.
Right.
And that's kind of that piece by piece. You know, that's how God works. Little, it says, line upon line.
Mm-hmm.
Little by little, this is how he's going to work. When the Israelites were going to go into the promised land, God said, I'm not going to give it to you all at once.
Well, they would have been overwhelmed.
And
we would be overwhelmed.
Right. Right. And it's the same thing. Little by little, God will show us through the word, okay, next step, next step,
mm-hmm.
next step.
Right.
And we all of a sudden we can look back and say, wow, I'm a lot more mature than I was a year ago, 5 years ago, 38 years ago. You know, you can look back and say, I've grown. God has really helped me to move on toward maturity.
And you know, Peter is just... I say Peter, actually I meant Paul. Anyway, you know, look at who he chose. You know, somebody that was against, didn't believe in him, was totally against everything that he stood for, you know, and yet he chose him.
Right.
And he, you know, step by step by step, he gave up everything from mm-hmm. his past and realized that, you know, this is what he was living for.
Right.
And, you know, there are several places in here in, you know, where we talked about this morning, you know, these letters that he wrote to, you know, the Corinthians, the letters he wrote to the Philippians. You know, he was in jail, yet he was rejoicing and praising God. And,
right.
And you know, it's the good times, the bad times, it's everything.
Right. Philippians, because I'd said I read through it again, and I said it this morning, I've been reading the Bible since I got saved. 38 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I figure I've read Philippians 20, 25, possibly 30 times by now. And yet, all of a sudden, God, you know, as I was reading through it this time, rejoice, 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 over and over and over again. And here is Paul sitting in jail writing this. And maybe he was looking back to when he was in jail in Philippi.
Uh-huh.
And what happened? You know, he was wrongly accused, got beaten, he and Silas. They got thrown in prison. And what do? They sit there and praise God, sing hymns, and God delivers them from the jail, and the jailer and his whole family get saved.
Praise God.
You know? So Paul can look back. I think Paul probably looked back at that and was thinking that whole time, see what I get for rejoicing.
And, you know, when my grandmother passed away back in 2006, we found out afterwards as part of her estate, I guess, she left some scripture from Philippians, because Philippians was her favorite book in the Bible. And she left some scripture for all of the family members. And it's Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, that is just, to me, that encompasses everything, you know, that Paul is trying to tell you. You know, don't worry about what's going on. Just be thankful for what you have. Mm-hmm. Keep asking for what you need, and God will take care of your needs. But just be thankful, be happy, be joyful. So, to me, that encompasses everything that we've been talking about, you know, going from the basics to maturing. And once you hit that maturity level, you're really able to become thankful for everything that you have.
Right. And that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a mark of maturity. You know, if we had another 2 hours, we could go through a lot more marks of maturity. But I do believe that's one mark of maturity, and being thankful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a mark of maturity, being thankful, praying about things. That's a mark of maturity, because those are the things that bring us into God's presence. And that's probably the ultimate mark of maturity. Like I said, you know, that hundredfold level is you're right there with God. And, you know, it's, as John put it in his first epistle, when he talked about the little kids, the young men, and the fathers,
right.
It was the fathers, the most mature, and he quotes this twice, who knows the one who's from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's 1 John 2:12, right?
Yes. 1 John 2:12 through 14.
Excellent.
And that's just an amazing thing, because, you know, we think, oh, I got saved, that's it, hooray.
Mm-hmm.
Or I got filled with the Spirit, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm seeing the gifts move, hooray. And those type of people were the young men,
mm-hmm.
the teenagers. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm talking to you fathers because you know him who was from the beginning. And that just floors me, because it's not, that's where, almost where you go, I don't want to say beyond the gifts, because I made that point this morning. You never leave behind where you've been.
It's always going to be there. That's what you draw from.
But you move ahead into something even newer,
mm-hmm.
without stopping doing the things you did before. I mean, you still move in the gifts and all that.
Right, but it's like you've attained an intimate knowledge of God,
yes.
of the awesomeness of God, of the sovereignty of God at such a deep level. That you stand and you're just in awe of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it's like what during this last song we were talking, you know, this phrase keeps going over and over my head, the best is yet to come. My dad has instructed us that when he dies, that he wants to be buried with a fork in his pocket. And some people may think that's a very odd request, but any of you who have been to a church dinner or a social function where, you know, you get your food and you sit down at the table and you eat. And then they have somebody come by, they pick up your plate, but they tell you, you know, save your fork for dessert, you know, or save your fork, the best is still coming,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that's what my dad, you know, he's like, I know the best is still to come, you know. And it's not just about when you die and the rewards that you receive in heaven. If you are to stop and not keep going, you're going to miss so much more, some of the good stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I've said this before, if I ever quit having these aha, awesome revelation moments where I see something in the Word that jumps out at me, you know, then I don't want to be here if that happens, because I don't want to stop having those moments.
I want to point out here, because I just had this moment, okay, this aha moment you're talking about, this fork, it's like, it's that utensil that's used to bring nourishment into your body.
Right.
Well, we use the Bible to nourish our soul. So that's
exactly.
God's word. That's God's food for us,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like, hold on to God's word. Hold on, you know, the best, hold on to your fork. The best is yet to come. Hold on to God's word. Read it, study it, because in there, you're going to learn so much. The best is yet to come. You haven't read it all yet. You haven't uncovered all the meaning and stuff that's in there for you to learn. So that's just what came to me.
Because every time you read it, something else is going to jump out
right,
at you.
The
more mature you are, layers.
I was going to say, and you saw that with me, my little aha moment earlier, with Isaiah chapter 6. It just all of a sudden came together. So don't give up hope. I've been, you know, reading the Bible now for almost four decades. So, and no, it does.
Nobody's counting.
I know, I am. But I still get those aha moments. I mean, you know, and it's funny because God instructed me last year. One of my prayer requests that I had made last year was I was, and I hate to say it, but I was getting bored with the Bible because I had my reading. I had the way that I read it, and I usually use the Kenneth Copeland in the back of his From Faith to Faith book. Mm-hmm. He's got a reading plan for a whole, you know, how to read the Bible through in a year. So that's what I'd use for years and years and years. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. But it was just getting boring doing the same thing. So I had prayed that God's word would be made more real to me. And I found one of the Christian bookstores, found a devotional by Jermaine Copeland, who also wrote Prayers That Avail Much. Mm-hmm. And it's just 365 daily prayers. It's got a little prayer and meditation, prayer and scripture. So I thought, okay, I'll do that. And then what I started doing on top of that was just like reading maybe one or two chapters instead of four or five chapters. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, boom, 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 revelation here, revelation there. And I praise God that I just, you know, I was able to get out of my own little, another box that I had constructed on how I was going to have my quiet time. And God said, okay,
It's time to move on.
Yeah. Well, you have, as you mature in your walk, you have to change things up a little bit,
right?
So that it stays fresh and it stays new,
right?
Because you know you can't get bogged down, and so you have to do that. You have to change things up a little bit.
Praise God. Okay, we want to have our last song, "You're My Glory," by Terry McCallum.
You're my glory, you're my glory, Lord, and the lifter of my head. For you're my glory.
we're just having a worship service in here.
We got to stop singing now.
Yeah, yeah, darn. We got to come back to earth.
Talk about being in the presence of God.
Wow. Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's kind of one of those Isaiah moments there. But, you know, people may be out there and thinking, well, I have no idea what these crazy people are talking about. It's all about Jesus and yes. all about what he's done for us. And, you know, maybe there's somebody out there who doesn't, you're listening, you tuned in, and maybe you don't know Jesus. Or maybe you do know him, but you want to make a deeper commitment to him. We just like to take a few moments and just pray for you and then have you join us in a prayer. But Father, we do ask in Jesus' name that if there's somebody out there who doesn't know you, that you would just take the blinders off their eyes, yes. the blinders off their heart, that you would open up your word to them, Father, that they would truly come to know Jesus as Savior.
Yes.
And then, Father, for those people that know Jesus as Savior, we pray that they would take that next step and just receive the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to know Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one of yes. God. And then, Father, for all of us, I pray that we would continue to move on, to press on toward maturity, toward a full and complete knowledge of you. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you bring each one of us into your presence. Amen. Just as that song did, Father, just that we could proclaim that you are indeed the glory and the lifter of our heads. Amen. And I do want to give everybody a chance. If there is somebody out there, maybe you don't know Jesus and you're thinking, I don't know. How do I ask him in my heart? Well, I'd like to pray with you now and have Deb and Alice kind of repeat after me, you know, the words. And just, you know, if you really want to ask Jesus into your heart or maybe even just make a new commitment to Jesus, just pray with us now. Well, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus.
Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus.
Asking you, Lord, to forgive my sin.
Asking you, Lord, to forgive my sin.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Father, I believe.
Father, I believe.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
And that you have raised him from the dead.
And that you have raised him from the dead.
And made him both Lord and Christ.
And made him both Lord and Christ.
And I receive him now as my Savior.
And I receive him now as my Savior.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
That you have come into my heart.
That you have come into my heart.
That you have made me your child.
That you have made me your child.
And that I am bound for an eternity with you.
And that I am bound for an eternity with you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, amen. I love praying like that.
Wow.
what a day this has been, you know. And I had to pray before because this is only the second or third time that I've hosted, and you know it can be kind of I'm not hosted very often.
You're not as slick as Pastor. Right?
I'm not as slick. I'm not as slick as Pastor Marsh. I'm like, if you're watching on the video, you can see me glancing up at the clock. That's not because I'm a clock watcher. It's just I want to make sure, you know, we get everything in that we need to do. But any final thoughts?
Well, Jim, one thing that I want to mention, if somebody out there prayed that prayer of salvation along with us, I would highly recommend that they get a Bible and start reading God's Word and get themselves in a good Bible-based church.
Amen.
That will teach them the Word of God. If you're in the Clearwater area or Tampa area, more than welcome to come out to Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I'm sure that Pastor Jim and Pastor Marsha would like to hear from you. So please drop them an email. You can reach Pastor Marsha at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, or Pastor Jim can be reached at pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. We would, you know, the church, Pastor Jim, Pastor Marsha would all like to know if you prayed that prayer of salvation along with us, let us know so that, you know, we can minister to you. And, you know, we can, if you're having difficulty finding a church home in your area, you know, we can point you in the right direction.
Amen.
If you're in the Clearwater area, then please stop by Beacon of Hope. We'd love to meet you and get to know you.
Amen.
Yeah, because the coolest thing about Beacon of Hope is that majority of us, we come in shorts and T-shirts. It's not about, you know, that dressing up in that suit and dressing up in that dress, because, you know, God really doesn't care what you're wearing.
Amen.
As long as you're wearing clothes. But, you know, it's just, we're there for whoever needs to be there. God put us there to minister to whoever,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like the scripture says, for whosoever believeth in him. Well, we're for the whosoever, you know. We don't care where you've been or what your life's about. We care about getting God's word into your heart, feeding you with that word.
Right.
And
God will take care of the rest.
God will take care of the rest. But,
right.
you know, it's really important. I cannot reemphasize what Alice said. You know, go out and buy yourself a Bible. And, you know, the easiest, most readable Bible out there right now is the Message Bible. And we teach a lot from that one. You know, start out with that one because it's really easy, and it's just that everyday, you know, common sense language. And get that and read it, but find yourself a church. Find yourself some place where you can surround yourself with part of that army of Christ,
mm-hmm.
part of that brotherhood, you know, because you can't do it by yourself. And God's going to be there with you, but you're going to have so many questions that can be answered. You know, and you can be directed where you
right.
need to go.
And if you can't afford a Bible, we have a whole bookshelf full.
Yes,
yeah,
we do. The church. So
we'd
be more than happy to give you
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's kind of my ministry.
Yeah,
that's a good one, Jim.
If we run out, Jim will go buy some more.
Right. I'll go buy a new one and give the old one to the church.
You know, and as far as final thoughts, you know, I thoroughly enjoy coming and doing the radio ministry because I feel like, you know, we've had people. A couple of weeks ago, we had somebody do their first radio show. One of the members was first time on a radio show, and I told her beforehand, you know, I said, you know what, it's just a bunch of people sitting around a table, you know, just having a conversation. You know, yeah, we've got headphones on, and yeah, we're in front of a mic, but, you know, once you get in here, you sit down, and that's just it. We're sharing our thoughts and our wisdom and what's going on in our life, and that's what the Bible is. You know, it's God's word, but it's God's word, and it's what, you know, Abraham went through, and, you know,
it's
Elijah.
Examples.
It's
right.
examples of, you know, God said this, and this is how I took it, and this is what I did. And it's the greatest storybook. It's the greatest book full of
history
and intrigue.
Adventure.
And if
romance.
if you can believe in Harry Potter, and you can believe in Winnie the Pooh, you know, and you can read all of these these books and believe in these quote make believe characters, then I challenge you to pick up the Bible and take the make believe out of it
right.
and believe in a true and living God, one that will love you unlike you've ever been loved before, and put your faith and trust in Him. Like, you know, like Paul did, like, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them, you know, put your faith
right
and see where it takes you. And you're going to be on, just put your seatbelt on, because it's going to be a ride unlike you've ever had before.
Yeah. And that is so true, because, you know, people can quote Harry. I you know, I have a coworker. She can quote Harry Potter front, back, sideways. And that's all well and good. But I think I'd rather have the word. Well, I know I'd rather have the word of God in my heart. And I'm so glad I do. But
yeah.
I agree. So often we put so many other things before, before the word, before God. But, you know, the whole point of today was talking about moving on in maturity. Paul said, remember, letting go, leaving behind anything that's going to stop me from moving forward,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is, no matter how small it is. And you'd be surprised some of the things God's shown me over the years that, okay, you need to leave this behind. But God, that's just neutral. That's innocuous. That's right. Nothing. And God says, no, 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 no. You still need to let go of it.
Right. And one thing I want to point out is that God will work on everybody differently, mm-hmm. at different areas and different things. He may tell somebody, you know, you really need to not be doing this one thing. And they'll say, well, yeah, but so-and-so over there does that. But what they may not realize is that that other person may do that, but it's not taking away from the time that they are spending with God or spending in the Word or whatever, whereas this person is consistently doing whatever this is that they're doing, and they're not spending the time in the Word, not spending the time with God that they need. So, it's different for everybody. Not everybody is going to... Not everything is the same for everybody. I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, and that's exactly true. Sometimes God may deal with me on one thing at one time, and yet you may not be ready to have that dealt with you in your life yet. Does that make sense?
I kind of garbled there. It does to us.
God may deal with me on issue A because I'm ready for him to deal with it in my life. You may not be ready for 2 weeks or 2 years or
two decades. Right.
And the scriptures in Romans came to mind where Paul says, who are you to judge another man's servant?
Right.
I have to walk my walk. And yeah, well, how come she gets to get away with that?
Right.
Okay. I have to realize it's not.
And the bottom line on that is that if God had a set plan that says once you're saved and you become a Christian, that you're going to do A, B, C, D, and E, it would be a very boring world.
Because we'd all be doing the same things.
We'd all be doing the same thing, and we would all be robots. And what do we learn from that? We learn nothing from that. Mm-hmm. And look at all the different characters in the Bible, you know, and how they played things out. I mean, they're not characters or real people, but, you know... Now,
some of them were characters.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll give you that. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, just like every baby doesn't walk at 9 months, you know, or crawl at 9 months and then walk at 12 months, you know, you're going to crawl for a while, then you're going to walk, then you're going to run.
Right.
And it's going to be each in his own time. And God will help you with every step.
Right. Well, and that's what Paul was saying in Romans, particularly, you got to give each other room to grow.
Right.
And God's not going to deal with some of us at the same rate, do the same things that he does with each other. And so we have to give each other latitude to walk with Jesus on the path that Jesus has chosen for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The awesome thing about all of this is that no matter where you are, whether you're at the 30-fold or the 60-fold or the 100-fold, when it's time, you know, when you move on to be with God, you're going to be in heaven.
Right.
You know, if you're at the 30-fold and you pass, you're going to heaven. If you're at the 60 and you pass, you're going to heaven. If you're at the 100, you pass, you're going to heaven.
Right.
So it's awesome.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. It is awesome, and we've almost come to the end of our time together, and this has been awesome. I so enjoy doing the radio program, just because it gives me a chance to preach a little bit, chance to teach, chance to share, and I love the bouncing it off of each other,
right.
Because, you know, Scripture says iron sharpens iron, mm-hmm. so one person sharpens another, and that's how we do it. We bounce things off of each other, so... I just want to praise God. Thank you both for being here. Again, if you're looking, like we've said, if you're looking for a church in the Clearwater area, please visit us, Beacon of Hope Ministries, 3700 Olmerton, Sunday morning service, 10 o'clock, Bible study, 7 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder just quickly about the prayer ministry. Send us if you need prayer, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. And it's been a pleasure being with you folks.
And I'm glad to have been here. Thank you.
Amen. And we'll see everybody next week then. Praise God.
Remember, it's not far from Jesus.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus, his loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side.